Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. This is edition 298. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thank you for tuning in. On the broadcast this week, I speak with Henrique Parara, who is a teacher in Sao Paulo at the Federal University, and I think is an important social movement-aligned educator that is thinking about questions of social movements and digital technologies in the context of Latin America. So in the Brazilian context, we're talking about the dynamics of American tech giants influencing and creating political weight in Brazil. We've seen the left government of the Workers' Party of Brazil at odds with a social media corporation like X, which was playing out political influence in the context of Brazilian politics. And so Henrique and others are really putting forth this idea of digital sovereignty. And I think this is a term that's been really present in progressive thinking in Brazil today. We hear about what this means. We also hear about what does an open internet mean, or free, accessible research on an open internet mean when you have private AI companies, corporations harvesting that information for profit. These are the questions that we talk about today. And so it's really a pleasure to share my conversation with Henrique Parara at the Federal University in Sao Paulo on this week's edition of Free City Radio. Here it is. Addressing the contemporary reality in relation to power dynamics in the world between US-based tech companies and figures like Elon Musk, connected, you know, for a considerable time deeply with the current authoritarian government of Donald Trump, addressing figures like that in relation to global politics is important. This does take place, of course, in mainstream media platforms, but I think it's important to hear voices that can offer a perspective on this from the global south to look at alternative frameworks of understanding digital and online infrastructure today. Henrique Parara is a researcher and educator in Sao Paulo and co-authored recently a paper that's called The Digital and the South Questionings. And this is the second volume. Henrique, thank you so much for being here. I'm wondering if you could first start by introducing yourself.
Hi, Stefan. First, thank you very much for the invitation. It's nice to be here with you. And I'm in Sao Paulo right now. I work as a professor in the social science department at the Federal University of Sao Paulo, where we have a lab, which is called Pimenta Lab, which is dedicated to investigate the field of technopolitics. So pretty much we work in two big directions. I mean, the way digital technologies and technologies of communication, how they have been participating in important changes in the way we produce, circulate it, and how you produce knowledge, basically. And at the same time, how it's participated in changes in economics and politics. I mean, the power relations, right? So we pretty much work in these two directions. And that's it. We have like different fields of empirical research.
Clearly, there's a major focus that has recently been in the news, which is, you know, at the highest levels of state power, the conflict between the Workers' Party government in Brazil and Elon Musk. Of course, there's a historical context to understanding the Workers' Party that first came to power with the support of social movements in the early 2000s. And, you know, I think it'd be interesting to hear your perspective on this contemporary international news issue, but from the ground, from your vantage point in Sao Paulo. So, yeah, I'll leave it there.
Yeah, we are in a very different moment than we were 20, 25 years ago when we had the first Works Party presidential government, right? And at that time, we also had a very different situation regarding the grassroots organizations and also digital technology and internet. I mean, it was a complete different environment. Nowadays, we are facing really different challenges. And first of all, I mean, we're dealing with international wave of uprising of extreme right movements. That's not different in Brazil. And at the same time, we are, Brazilian government, it's dealing with a very different context. I mean, we have a National Congress, which is very conservative. It's very extreme right orientated. And it's basically support by the agribusiness, by evangelicals, religious orientated groups, very conservatives, and also by groups related to the military. I mean, we have an arrangement where the extractivist economy, right, agribusiness and mining, energy, and are supporting this Congress, and also the religious groups and the military operators, right? So its government is facing a really strong opposition, and it's really hard to implement its politics. But at the same time, Works Party has changed a lot, in 20 years, right? So today, there is a very important challenge towards all the communication ecosystem and how the political positions, how thinking, how the production of reality is being managed in our society. And it's the same thing in other parts of the world, right? And here, it's especially, it becomes, I mean, outside the U.S. or other countries, it becomes especially harder because we deal with even more asymmetric relation towards, like, the big tech companies, right? So now there is this strong debate that is becoming more interesting regarding the theme of digital sovereignty. So right now, many social movements in Brazil are interested in talk about digital sovereignty. This vocabulary, it's becoming more present in nowadays debates, right? And at the same time, this debate starts to get informed by an environmental issue. So that's the, I think, a new thing, right? So how the traditional social movements are more concerned now with the digital technology environment. That's something that social movements have been always aware, but most of the traditional movements, they were not very well concerned with the capacity to have their own infrastructure, to have their own means of communications, right? So now it's very clear how this corporate communication infrastructure works for the production of a more conservative and extreme right political positions. So it has been more common and more diffuse, the initiatives towards promote the debate regarding autonomy and digital sovereignty in Brazil, right? At the same time, there's the what I think it's interesting. It's how this debate starts, and that's still it's a beginning of something to have new connections with the environmental debate, right? So just to give an example, I mean, we're talking about the importance of having our own data centers, right? Because we don't want our data to be in Amazon, no? Or Azure or other big tech companies outside of Brazil, or even to have their data centers in Brazil to have control of our data. But then we have to think about the energy impact, right? We have to think about water use for those data centers. Where those data centers are going to be? So these are kind of new questions that before were not present when we were debating questions regarding digital technologies, right? So that's something new.
I also wanted to speak to you about the framework of open publishing. Now, you have a meaningful connection to social movements, particularly in Latin America, around what was called the global justice movement. So this was, you know, protests taking place to oppose the imposition of neoliberal economic policies, financialization, and that was strongly mobilized against in many contexts globally. Part of that process led to the creation of different platforms online in the early 2000s. One of them was indymedia.org. That was part of this process and really put forth the idea of an open publishing framework online. The dynamics today are different when thinking about the power of tools and also the corporations behind different AI models and commodifying information in the framework of an open internet. Also the fact that, you know, these social media corporations have really commodified this framework of open publishing. So I just wanted to leave some space for you to speak on this, and I'd love to hear your reflections on it. Thank you.
Okay, I think this is some kind of the crossroads, right? Crossroads regarding open access and open access to knowledge, right? 20, 25 years ago, we were really concerned about how to make things open and freely available through the internet, right? At the same time, the old economic business that have been developed with the capacity to extract, control, and create new forms of production of value and produce a new form of knowledge control over what has been openly available on the internet, right? So I think the question of how we produce nowadays is not anymore just a question of how anyone should be able to produce and put content in circulations, but how we somehow create a commons knowledge economy regulating these forms of access control and exploration and new forms of control of this information, right? So I think the production, how we can deal with a more democratic, open, and emancipatory forms of access to knowledge and to produce it collaboratively implies in creating other forms of governance of this, let's say, data commons, right? And that's not really simple because we have to deal with different stacks, right? Different dimensions of everything that is involved in an information economy. For example, nowadays, Brazil and Latin America, and especially in Brazil, we have very important databases for all academic production. We have a very strong policy in open access for scientific production that has been financed with public fund, right? And so all theses, all articles, most of this stuff, it's freely open on the internet. And then when we see what's happening with the training of the AI machines, I mean, they're being able to explore and training their AI systems to create very strong service that are going to be now sell it to our universities, to our governments in order to supply new service, right? So this is something very trivial, right? That's happening in the sense that which would ever have the power, right, to analyze, concentrate, training their softwares, is going to be ahead, right? So the open production of knowledge, I mean, we have to face different issues now, right? So, I don't think if I put it in the right way, because it's that we need to create forms of common governance of this knowledge, right? In order to block, the possibility that it has extraction and control that creates something that's going to be used especially against us, right? So I think that's a crossroad. I mean, it's hard to define how we can deal with it. But that's when comes, the question over sovereignty, right? So what does it mean? I mean, is to have the control over your data? I mean, how we develop forms of collective responsibility and the possibility of collective benefit from it?
You so correctly identified the power of, the importance of listening to social movement perspectives from the Global South, digital sovereignty. You've put forth this idea. I'd love to hear more about its meaning and the context around this. I think that it's an important framework, and the link that you make to thinking about alternative infrastructures that are necessary in the online world in relation to also the considerations and the urgency of the climate justice movement. So I'll leave some space on that point also.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the way, how we could move from debate on technopolitics to think about in terms of cosmotechnic conflictuality, all right? So when we start to think about digital technologies, the struggles we have over it, if we try to insert or combine it with the discussion of modes of existence, forms of life, right, and how we could think it in the introductions of other variables outside of the questions of the economic efficiency model, speed, and other rationalities, right? So I think that now it's very clear that the way digital technology became a kind of ubiquitous presence and it's pretty much working as an environment, right? It's interesting to think, though, the kind of challenges we have when you think about climate change, when you think about the problems related to the environment, there's a very interesting connection to think on the challenges that we face in the development of technologies. We're saying that the questioning regarding digital technologies now, if we start to approach it also from an environmental perspective, it becomes unavoidable the fact that we have to confront the modes, the economic rationality and the forms of life that they are promoting. It's not just a matter of having the same technology to compete in geopolitical or intercapitalistic economic race. And it's important to how we can transform and create other rationalities with this technology. In the certain sense, they're going to become other kinds of technologies, right? And because they can be orientated by other values, by other cosmovisions, right? So what we've been working on nowadays, I mean, since the pandemic, I think. I mean, the pandemic for us was, we tried to interpret it as the first techno-political event that has been lived in a synchronized experience in the planetary experience history, right? So with the pandemic, it's pretty much clear that the way our technology, our science, and how our economic and how the geopolitical, they're being interviewed in the production of our crisis, right? So for us now, everything that we've been researching regarding digital technology has to be confront with this other dimension, which is the geo-history, with this, the things related to the Capitalocene, right? And so it's not just that. That's because the debate over sovereignty technology becomes more complicated, because even the concept of sovereignty, which is usually very state-centric, become more complicated because we cannot have the solutions only at the state level, right? And the same thing with the climate change thing, and the same thing with the development of technology. So somehow we are using this vocabulary, I mean, talking about digital sovereignty, but it has to be clear that we're not talking about the same idea of national state-centric sovereignty policies, right? So what that means in terms of development of technology, with development of infrastructure, when we start to pose this question, it becomes more complicated, right? So yeah, I think this is a kind of issues that we want to introduce, because when you're debating energy transition, right? I mean, now there's all this big wave on renewable energies in Brazil, right? But with the expansion of AI systems, I mean, we're demanding a lot more energy, right? So we're going to have to make very strong decisions, very strong collective, very strong choice in terms of what we need, right? And that's when questions regarding democracy becomes more interesting, because it becomes a question also of dealing with other forms of life that are not integrated in our democratic system.
Henrique, you have really outlined some of the critical points for people involved in this intersection of environmental justice work, digital technologies, and social movements need to consider. We'll link to this recent publication that you shared, The Digital and the South, Questionings. It's the second volume, in the links for this program, which are at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. If you're hearing that on a campus or community station in Canada, you can visit that website to find more information. Henrique, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today from Sao Paulo.
Thank you, Stefan.
That was a conversation with Henrique Parada, who is a researcher and educator and author based in Sao Paulo. He teaches at the Federal University and has recently published a really interesting paper called The Digital and the South, Questionings. As you heard, this interview, I think, accurately addresses some deep questions about what digital sovereignty means in an era of tech giants and corporate digital platforms based in the United States. What does it look like for a global South country to declare digital sovereignty? Important questions. Thank you so much to Henrique for being on the program today. This has been another edition of Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoff. Thanks for tuning in. And thank you to the Social Justice Center at Concordia University for supporting this project. We broadcast weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., on CGLO 1690 a.m. also in Montreal on Wednesdays at 8 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m., on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. on CFUV, 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 a.m. on Met Radio, 1280 a.m. in Toronto on Fridays at 5:30 a.m. on CKCU, 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on CJSF, 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Thursdays at 4:30 p.m. and on CHMA, 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. Thanks so much for tuning in. And you can also look us up as a podcast. Just search Free City Radio. I'll speak to you next week. Thanks for listening.